This podcast is brought to you by Rock My Wedding, the UK's most influential wedding brand. Hello.
Blessed day.
Are you on the third season? Is it the third season now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Handmaid's Tale for anyone that's like, what?
I just can't. It scares me, that whole programme.
I think it's brilliant in terms of...
I do need to get myself...
It's like nothing else I've ever watched. Yeah. Ever. Handmaid's Tale, Netflix, completely going off topic now. But
you can get it on Channel 4 as well, can't you?
Can you?
I'm just doing... I'm finishing Killing Eve, and then perhaps I'll go back over to Handmaids.
We've not started that second series yet. So if any of you are really stressed with wedding planning and need a bit of a break, listening to this for, you know, a bit of a rest or for advice, get yourself in front of the telly.
Yeah, that's our top piece of advice.
And Killing Eve, Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, enjoy them with a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. And then come back to this as we talk everything entertainment. Just before we do get cracking, I just wanted to extend a large thank you to everyone for all your continued lovely support with the podcast.
And your feedback is amazing. It's quite interesting because a lot of things have evolved over the years. I've been doing Rock My Wedding, and we don't really hear from people on the blog as such anymore. So you kind of, sometimes you're a bit blind. You can see how many views it's got and you think, oh wow, thousands of people are looking at it. But then you think, do they like it?
Do they really think that one?
We don't know.
Whereas back in the day, you're right, there was so much more commenting and discussion with the community and stuff.
Whereas we get a lot of DMs now through Instagram, mostly, complimenting us on the podcast.
So thanks.
And making suggestions, so that's really lovely.
It is really nice. So please keep messaging us because we do read them all. And you've been great interacting with all our Instagram polls and stuff as well. So that's really fun for us. Mm-hmm. And you can email us as well if you'd like to, if you prefer that medium of communication. It's podcast@rockmywedding.co.uk. It's quite self-explanatory. But yeah, just a little thanks before we start getting into this episode. Going back to Instagram, we put a poll up about what percentage of your budget you're spending on entertainment. And I was quite impressed with how people appear to know their budgets. Like, you all obviously have a good idea of what you're spending. The average seems to be somewhere between 5 and 10%, which is good because our budget guide suggested about 7%. So, we were pretty accurate with that. There was obviously fluctuations in that. Some people weren't spending anything on entertainment, nothing at all. And some people were spending much more. Some people was 15% of their budget. One person was spending 30% of their budget on their entertainment.
I spent about 20%.
Did you?
We'll come on to that later.
Yes, we will. One reader, Zebs, is spending 4% on an evening band, whereas Jordana Ashley is spending about £400 on her photo booth, which equates to 2% of her budget. And as I say, some people don't have any budget for entertainment. Manon C. Williams suggested that conversation is the best entertainment. She's not wrong. People love a good catch-up at a wedding, don't they?
They do.
I think it's a place people take the opportunity to really have a good catch-up with people they haven't seen for ages.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole, when people comment about like not going overboard.
Yeah.
Because there is a temptation, isn't it, when you sort of get into it, like, well, let's have, and then what happens when that finishes? Oh, we need something else. And then when that finishes, we need something else. Like, well, actually, if there's just something all day, your guests are going to miss something because at some point they have to get a drink and they want to chat to, you know, their friends that they might not have seen for a while and everything.
Absolutely.
So don't feel the need to have to provide entertainment
every
for the whole
of the day.
Of the wedding.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We're going to start by talking about music. So this is not an episode specifically about music, but I think we both agree that music is a large part of the entertainment of
a wedding.
Most weddings, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's going to take up probably quite a big chunk of this episode, but let's see how we get on anyway. First thing to think about with your music is think about what kind of vibe you want to create for your day. So for example, if you're having a black tie wedding, you don't necessarily want to have a country band because they're not going to fit in with your theme and the vibe that you're trying to create for your day.
Unless you give them a basket full of cowboy hats.
Unless you...
And some cowboy boots.
Well, quite. Do you know what? Your day, your way. Just do what you like.
You're giving me all the ideas. I'm like, ooh. That should have done that at my sister's wedding.
That's a good
combo.
She
had black tie. I do, yeah. But I do know what you mean.
You consider
what you're trying to create in terms of like your theme and the feel, the ambiance of the
like
day.
When Alice and Ben were talking about their wedding in season 2, their guy turned up and he forgot to get changed and he was just in his jeans and a shirt. You might not be happy with that if you're having a black tie wedding, is my point. You might want them to
Billy
be
Ray
a bit
Cyrus
smarter.
Turns up.
Yeah. and then Miley pops in on her wrecking ball. It might just not be what you'd imagined, you know, that the whole vibe of your wedding was. So yes, so think about the whole vibe you're trying to create. And then you can think about what parts of your day you want to have music in. So you can have music during your ceremony and your drinks reception. That's probably going to be the same musicians, mm-hmm. I would imagine.
Yeah.
Because they're very, very close together,
aren't
they?
Certainly from all the weddings I've been to and all the weddings we featured, I'd say that's a good 90% of how that works.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And ideal music for this part of your day, although you might want upbeat songs, you need them to be performed in a certain way. You don't want something totally crazy and erratic. This is a really important, well, it's the most important part of the day, isn't it? You're about to do your vows and get married. So you want something soft, gentle, pared back a little bit, not too in your face. Because again, people are coming in and they're seeing each other for the first time, friends that might not have seen each other for ages. So when people are coming into the ceremony and sitting down, everyone's having a quick chat, catch up before the whole thing kicks off. So you just want to keep it quite mellow, I would say. Anyway, I've never been to a ceremony where there's been a rock band on.
No.
For example.
No. Although I still want to go to a wedding when they've got a gospel choir on.
Oh my God. But how amazing would that be?
Really amazing.
Oh my God.
But again, I suppose the music that you're choosing for that particular bit, i.e. where everyone's coming into the ceremony room, and certainly where the bride and or groom are coming down the aisle, then you want something that's not going to overpower the scene.
That's the one.
Should we say?
You just want it to complement.
Yes.
The thing, don't you? Not be too OTT, no. I think. We spoke to list member Toby Music, who are a duo that play a double bass and acoustic guitar, and they generally play for ceremonies and some of the drinks reception. So I thought it'd be interesting to get an insight from them on how long they usually play for, you know, do they take requests, things like that. So we asked them a couple of questions, and this is what they had to say. Less is more, and it's not that we get off playing, it's because acts cease to become special if they're playing all night. Our speciality is ceremony and canapé, so 15 minutes prior to the ceremony, then three songs during the ceremony, and then a 45-minute canapé set.
Mm-hmm.
Which has, how nice does that sound?
Yeah.
So that covers off, everybody get into the ceremony, I guess your signing of the register?
Yeah, I'm walking up the aisle, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I would guess so.
Yeah, and the dissension.
Yeah, and then a good 45 minutes when everybody's out and having a canapé and a nice glass of bubbly. And she says, trust me when I say this is enough for speciality acts. If you've hired a full 5-piece band, then I would say probably 4 40-minute sets should be the maximum. We really put our heart and soul into what we do, and at the end of 3 30-minute, they're pretty spent. So that's if they go on and do sets in the evening. She finishes by saying, so I'd say choose something special for your ceremony and canapes, then either a band or a DJ take over at the end. So you can wrap it up a little bit.
I had a quartet for my wedding.
You did.
So they did the ceremony. So they played for about 20 minutes or so, as people sort of like coming in, sitting down. Then they did the song that I walked up the aisle to, which I requested from them. It wasn't actually on their repertoire.
Okay.
So they essentially had to learn it.
Yeah.
So it's worth asking.
Absolutely.
Because obviously some of them will do. They might, if they ask us, they have to all get together and practice, they might want to charge a bit extra. My particular band didn't. And then they played during signing the register.
Yeah.
And then when I went back down the aisle again, and they then played for about an hour or so for part of the canapes and drinks reception.
Okay.
Which was really lovely because there was a mixture of us saying some songs that we really liked, picking some that were already on, you know, their list, and them telling us what they found sort of drew the crowd, if you like.
Yeah.
So it's always good to get advice from your band because obviously they're the people with experience. So even though you might really want them to play X.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really nice to give them a brief of what you want, but also take their advice on, because like you say, they know the ones that are going to draw people in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why did you choose a string quartet?
Just because that was the kind of, I suppose, the venue and the theme of our wedding, how we were talking earlier.
Yeah.
It was that kind of, I don't know, it was very romantic.
Yeah.
And I just really love it.
Yeah.
Like from a personal perspective. And there was no other occasion in my life that I was ever going to have a string quartet.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like for my ceremony, that's what I'm going to have. And I referred to earlier, we spent almost 20% of our budget on entertainment.
Yeah.
Because for James and I, that was something that was really important to us. For me, far more important, than fashion, flowers, any of those things. We love music.
I wanted
to join quartet. I had a pianist for just after the wedding breakfast.
Yeah.
And then we had a full, like, essentially rock band for the evening. And when our guests sort of spoke about our wedding afterwards, nearly all of them, the one thing they mentioned was the music.
So perfect.
So enjoyed it. So enjoyed it all day. And, you know, it was great. And the songs were great. And, you know, people on the dance floor right up until literally the clock struck midnight. And we had to turn it off. So for me, it was like, it was money well spent.
Yeah. See, we spent hardly any of our budget on music or entertainment, full stop, really. We had a set of playlists and we used the venue's PA system and it was hooked up to, back in the day, an iPod. And that's what controlled most of our music all the way through the ceremony. The wedding breakfast was even, all the background music to that was through the PA system. And then we had a DJ on the evening who was my best friend's uncle. So we just gave him a huge playlist. And he took over at the end. So we hardly spent any.
But that worked for you though.
But it was perfect for us. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So like we say, always your day, your way.
Mm-hmm.
Two totally different, you know, ideas but behind the music and entertainment. But we've both equally had the best days of our lives.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it is all about doing what's most important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about you having a quartet, and just something I wanted to touch on is a way of having that classical element of a wedding, but with a twist. We've got a supplier on the list called Joel Granger, and he's a violinist, but he plays with a loop pedal.
Yeah, so if you want, I've seen his demo video. Cool, isn't it amazing?
It's just to make people aware that there's these really classic art forms, but available in such a more modern form.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get a real mixture of both the classic and the modern. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, string quartets these days, they play all pop music, don't they, as well? And it just sounds so good. It sounds so good. So don't be put off by a string quartet if you think, oh, they're going to be playing Mozart and that means nothing to you. Because largely, maybe they will put some classic stuff in there, but there's loads of modern songs that they play as well. So if you like the thought of it, but you're put off by the idea of it being classical, it's not classical necessarily in that sense, is it, anymore?
Yeah.
It's very, it can be very cool.
Always talk to the, like, if you hear, I don't know, you're looking for a particular band, you listen to their demos, you think, yeah, they're really great, but actually the repertoire isn't quite right.
Mm-hmm.
Just send them an email.
Yeah.
Like, ask them, would you do this? Is there anything else?
Yeah.
My sister booked a band for her wedding. It was last month. And she looked at their playlist and initially she's like, oh, only a few on there that I don't, but it was just that they didn't have their entire playlist one on the website because I suppose what's the point?
Yeah.
And also that they were like quite up for requests.
Yeah.
And,
well, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's not that they, you know, certain songs they didn't necessarily have on their list that they would play at every wedding given the chance.
Yeah.
But there were some songs that she requested that they'd played before.
Yeah. Sure.
So.
Yeah. Or just always ask the question.
Yeah.
If
always
you
ask
think
the question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we were talking the other day, weren't we, when we were trying to put this content together about other forms of live musical entertainment. We very almost had a steel drum band at our wedding. Very, very nearly. And part of me wishes maybe that we kind of had have done it. To have at the drinks reception, to really get people in the mood for what's to come in the wedding breakfast in the evening. And we see quite a few mariachi bands as well, don't we? Which I just think must be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
I'd
and again, I've never seen one in real life.
But they're definitely getting more popular.
Yeah.
And I know Simon, who edits the podcast, he's well up for a mariachi band. He thinks they're brilliant.
They've filmed some weddings when they've had them. And
we've got one
epic
on the list. So if that's up your street, you can go and check them out on the list. But again, it's all to do with that setting the tone of your day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Choose the music and or band that's representative of you and your day. Don't feel cornered into having what is traditional when you can have whatever.
Well, it's
you
like
want.
I was saying, just because our venue, because it was like quite romantic and it doesn't mean that we had to have quartet. Just what I chose.
Yeah.
Could have had steel drums.
Could have done.
Would have been amazing.
Yeah. So we've covered off ceremony, drinks reception. Then it's down to the wedding breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that we just use an iPod full of play with a playlist on for Az.
We had similar for that.
Yeah. And I've seen lots of people do it off their mobile phones, because obviously now you don't need an iPod. You can do everything off your Spotify playlist or whatever you use on your phone. My number one tip with that is make sure that the phone is on airplane mode, which is not something everyone thinks of. The last thing you want is someone's phone ringing or them getting a text message halfway through and it cutting the music out and just going da-da-da. In terms of music for the evening, you've got three main options, really. So create your own playlist like we've just talked about and let it be controlled by a trustworthy friend. But be warned, as the night goes on, that phone's going to get passed around and that playlist is going to get forwarded and rewound, and your merry friends will probably take it into their own hands.
Put requests in.
Yes. So that's your first option, make your own playlist. Your second option is have a DJ, and your third option is to have a band, or DJ and band, I suppose, is option number four.
Yeah. Because a lot of bands, says that's a good thing to put out, will offer to operate your playlist for you.
Yeah.
That's what ours did.
Okay,
so
cool.
We essentially gave them, I think back then it was also an iPad, but would now be a phone or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they then played it through their amp to make sure, obviously, the sound was really great.
Yeah.
Because actually the venue's sound system wasn't as good as the band, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah.
So they left their amp out right up until the last minute, and then packed everything else away.
Oh, brilliant.
Whilst they left that.
Yeah, and that's a really good question to ask your band, isn't it? About, and we'll come on to that in just a second, what happens when they're not playing?
Yes.
Do they DJ, or do you need another DJ? Or what's the deal with that? We spoke to the Mini Big Band, who are a vintage swing band, and asked them a couple of questions to give you a bit of an insight as to what they do on an evening at a wedding. They said, we play 2 60-minute sets as standard. However, we can do one long set if required. We then provide a free preset DJ service on iPad for before, in between, and after our set. This can work really well, but we do say that if you've plenty of time to fill, i.e. you're going on till 1 a.m, then a couple should really get their own DJ as well. So that's similar to what we were just saying, isn't it? Where they will do that DJ service in between their sets. I also asked them if they do requests, because like we were just saying, if the repertoire list is not right for you, but you really like the band, is that something they cater for? And they said, we have a massive repertoire list. If it's on there, we're happy to perform it. We do take other requests, also some more quirky. We're always happy to help and try, although if we feel that the instrumentation isn't right, then we leave it. We've been requested rap tunes before, and we're a swing band. So that's, I guess that goes back to be realistic with your request expectations. Yeah. A rap song is not really going to suit a swing band, is it? I mean, they can you can adapt songs, but that might be a little touch too far. We do charge a little for songs not in our repertoire, which covers them being specifically arranged by our 10-piece band. So you said that as well, didn't you? That there might be an extra charge for you to learn certain
if they have
songs.
Well, they have to get together and practice.
That's
if
it.
You want it to be right.
If it's not
obviously.
In their repertoire. Yeah. So again, just ask the questions, and bands will be more than happy to answer any questions that you've got. I also approached the Redfords band, which they're also on the list, to ask them the three most requested songs that are guaranteed to get guests of all ages on the dance floor. So you might want to add these to your lists, people, your playlists. Uptown Funk, Mark Ronson, 500 Miles, The Proclaimers, each to their own, and Mr. Brightside by The Killers.
Can we just say each to their own? The latter two were on my list. Thank you very much, Becky. And 500 Miles, The Proclaimers was what got everybody on the dance floor. Like,
well,
everyone, even my nan.
Well, then the Redford band know what they're talking about.
They do.
I also asked them about learning requests specifically, and they said that the Redfords will learn the first and father-daughter dance at no extra cost.
Oh,
how lovely is that? So if that's out of their repertoire, they'll throw that in for free.
One thing to bear in mind with the band, and this might seem really obvious, but considering I've been doing this job for many years, it wasn't obvious to me, is that some bands offer different amounts of people at different prices. So when I booked mine, they were the band and there were six people in it, and that was the cost and that was it.
Right.
So I didn't even think to ask for anything else.
Yeah.
Whereas some bands will have like a starter cost that's say for three members.
Okay.
So you might get like a keyboard player, a guitarist and a singer.
Right.
But you might be able to pay extra to then get an additional singer.
Okay.
Or drums.
Yeah.
Or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely worth making sure that you really fully understand what you're going to get for the cost.
Yeah.
And how those costs, if you get a much bigger band, can escalate in terms of the space that you might need. You might need extra lighting.
Absolutely.
You're going to need extra food because, just FYI, you have to feed your suppliers.
Yes.
Obviously, if they're there for hours, they've got to set up everything else, not going to get fed. So, you know, paying for food for three is very different for paying for food for 10.
Yeah.
So bear that in mind as well when you're putting all those costs together.
Yeah. I think throwing money at it doesn't necessarily make it better. Sometimes I imagine it can make it worse or more stressful
if,
you know, they've got to fit into a tiny space or, you know, there's much more production that goes behind it, isn't it? And all those sort of things. So yeah, good point. Another thing to think about when it comes to bands is, I'm just going back to the episode we recorded with Ben and Alice in series two of the podcast. That was episode 7. If you want to go and catch up on that, is don't be fearful of using a music agency to book your band. He made a really good point that people feel like if they haven't spoken to the band directly, then it's going to be a nightmare. They feel this need to have to speak to them directly, but actually don't need to because
obviously you need to listen to them.
Right? Yeah, you need to know. You need to do research and make sure you're happy with them. But you're not necessarily going to deal face to face with the band.
No,
and that's okay. That's the way a lot of bands work.
And that's the agency's job.
Exactly.
If the agency have got a good reputation, then
absolutely
they know what they're doing.
Yeah. So from bands to DJs, only a real quick thing to say on DJs, I suppose, is always try and see a DJ before you book them if you can, or at least get a recommendation, or make sure they've got a good website so you can hear how well they are and what they're, you know, what they bring with them. Do they have the right lighting and things like that for you to get the full effect that you're after. One point to make about DJs is to make sure you know exactly what you're getting and what is in your DJ's repertoire, and they have the music that you like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good idea to have a good chat with your DJ and a consultation if you can, so you can be really upfront about it. Because, for example, there's no point me being totally into indie, but my DJ doesn't have any indie music on his repertoire.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But you'll find the more you investigate DJs, the certain DJs will have bigger repertoires for certain things because that's their
speciality. Jam.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If you go on the list and you look at the Best Men, for example, they're DJs that we have on our supply directory who specialise in indie. So if that's your kind of vibe and that's what you want most of at your wedding, you're better to have a specialist supplier like them.
Yes.
Then, you know, just whoever the venue has recommended to you, because they might not have anything that you want to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, all I'm saying basically is research your DJ and make sure that they're going to be able to play a playlist that you're really, really happy with.
Yeah.
And that you think will entertain majority of your guests as well. If in doubt, visit the list and pick one from our supply directory because we can promise you that they will be top notch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just to recap on the music element of the entertainment, a couple of things just to bear in mind. So always check your timings with the venue. So how long has your DJ slash band got to set up? What time can they arrive at the venue from? Where do they need to come? Back door, front door? How does it work with them?
Where can they park? Because they've got a lot of equipment.
And they unload a van through the side door or whatever it might be. Make sure you ask that. What time are they allowed to play their last song? What time is absolute cutoff for that? And also a point to remember is just check if your venue's got a sound limiter, because that might mean that your band has to restrict the volume to a certain...
Which we have to say can have quite a detrimental effect on the overall effect.
Well, absolutely.
And we've heard, you know, various stories about venues who have quite a restriction. Like, and you know, and some bands we've also heard will actually refuse to play those venues
because I guess if it's not going to sound as it's supposed to,
if they can't play to their full potential, then that's obviously their reputation.
Absolutely.
And also it's the whole experience that your guests are going to have on the dance floor, isn't it?
It is. So just double check if there's a sound limiter, and then you can discuss that with your band whether that suits them.
And
or
if
not.
There is, because you know, sometimes there are reasons why there is, but the venue is like, I really want this venue. Silent disco. Just saying.
Disco. Boom. They're becoming much more popular, aren't they?
Yes. I've never been to one again.
I think we're
just going to have to create a wedding, Becky, because we go through these podcasts.
Should we get married, Charles?
Like, no, I know. Never had some steel drums. Never had a gospel choir. Never had a silent disco.
Yeah, no.
our wedding's going to be immense.
It'll be so good, won't it? But they are great. And we get more weddings submitted these days, don't we, that have had silent discos?
Especially
ones where, like, teepee weddings and things like that, where it's a bit outside in the countryside.
Yeah, and you've got to be careful of, like, noise residents and everything else that might live nearby. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's another form of entertainment to consider as well. We put a second Instagram poll out about what your main forms of entertainment were. What do you think was the most popular answer out of any form of entertainment? What do you think is riding number one?
See, I'd say like a band or a DJ.
You're right, band. Still number one by a mile as well.
Really?
Yeah, band hit massively over everything else. The second most popular thing people are having is a photo booth.
Okay.
I love a photo booth.
I do.
Anthony detests them. He's like, I'm not getting in there with you. I'm like, get in this photo booth. Put a prop on. Put a smile on.
Yeah.
We've got loads of photo booths on the list you can go and see. One that I particularly like is the little red bus. So you can use that as a form of transport, which can
As in they like take your guests to the
which
reception
is like
venue
a bit of the start of the entertainment because it's, you know, this real cool special bus. And then that turns into a photo booth afterwards. Oh, how cool is that?
Clever.
Yeah, I really like that idea. You had a prop box, didn't you, at your wedding? Your own DIY photo booth?
Yeah, got some signs, got some props. Must have cost about a tenner. But everyone has a whale of a time.
We got one of our messages on our Instagram poll was from Yuri Murgus. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. She's having board games and a photo booth area that she's sourcing all herself as well. So similarly to you.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Like, I know this is, as we just said in the beginning, it's very music heavy because that is like the main focus of entertainment for weddings, as it has been proved by the Instagram poll.
Indeed.
But also, like, especially during the drinks, reception, everything, you know, you're having an outdoor wedding, weather's great, garden games.
Massively popular on the poll.
And we
still
love this whole upcycling, recycling. So if you don't want to buy new, have a look on eBay.
Absolutely.
If your friends have had a great wedding with some games, you know,
definitely,
maybe purchase or borrow those of them. Great for kids.
Yes, really good
especially
for kids, keeping them entertained.
Yeah, so you know, you can have things specific that are perhaps more adult focused.
Yes.
And then maybe a little game of croquet.
Yes. Why not? But one of our most pinned images from our dedicated entertainment's Pinterest board, which you should also check out, I'll link to that in the show notes, is of a high striker, which is the thing, you know, where you smack the thing and then the bell goes up, and that's strong, like the strongman thing where you have
a confession here, right? Because Becky sends me some of the like notes for the podcast, and I saw the high striker and I was like, right,
what's
should
a high
I ask
striker?
What this is, because I should probably know, thinking it was some kind of like football related game that I was a bit behind on the old wedding entertainment, but now I understand.
Well, there you go. For anyone else who doesn't
know
what that
ace
big thing is that you have to whack with a mallet to hit the bell
high striker.
At the top. High striker. Mm-hmm. So that just goes to show that the garden games, carnival type, fairground type games.
Coconut shy.
Yeah,
went to a fete at the weekend. The kids absolutely loved it. And they weren't even that bothered about what the prize was or anything. It was literally just
the act of doing it.
The act of smashing the coconut off the stand.
One of our other most pinned images as well is of a DIY photo booth of frames hanging from a tree outside.
And then the people put their faces in them, basically.
Yeah.
And then you
so
take photos.
Really simple, but just a really nice form of entertainment. Everyone wants a nice photo, don't they? So things like that work really well.
Amy Rosebud, 13, she had a lot of stuff.
She had loads.
Casino,
didn't you, Amy?
Yeah. Casino tables, a caricaturist, a crepe van, a photo booth, a coconut saloon. Oof. Check her out. It's this whole Billy Ray Cyrus thing again. Sorry to keep going about that. Saloon, she was, you know, and the high striker.
Yeah. But what I liked about her entertainment is that she saw her crepe van as a form of entertainment.
Well, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's
I really
part
like
of that.
That.
You imagine you're queuing up, you're choosing what you want.
Yeah. There's a whole art of making it, isn't
exactly.
There?
You know, you get, you know, something to discuss, like have a conversation with people that you might not know that well.
Yeah.
Because
so
you don't know
it's
everyone at the wedding.
Starter.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Other forms of entertainment high on our Instagram poll list were, we've just said the garden games. They came up third in the list, quickly followed by a DJ. So DJ was at fourth.
Okay.
Yeah, in the list. And then following that was magicians.
Okay.
You've been to a wedding with a magician before, haven't you?
Been to a few.
Have you been to a few? I've not been to one single one.
Yeah, but not James, my other half loves a bit of magic.
Yeah.
Only because he tries to work out how they do it and ruin it for himself.
The other thing we're seeing on the rise is tattoo and glitter stations as well. Face painting for adults.
Especially stations. If you've got like a festival theme wedding.
Very cool.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and definitely. It's this whole like piece of decor.
Yep.
Guest participation.
Yeah.
Double whammy. So anything like that, or, you know, like we've mentioned on several different podcasts, like this whole bake-off dessert station. So you're giving, like we mentioned the crepe van earlier, you're giving people something great to eat. It's a conversation piece, something to look at.
Yeah.
And they get to have some cake.
Yeah, absolutely. It's doubling your value of your money, isn't it?
Exactly.
It is. One of the other things I really liked that came up on our Instagram poll was... Sarah K. Swain said, for her entertainment, I had a busker who played lute pedals that I found in Camden. How cool is that?
Yeah. So she must have seen him and thought, you're ace, come and play at my
literally
wedding.
Literally watched him in Camden and thought, you're pretty good. Will you play at my wedding, please?
Why not?
Love that. Absolutely love that. As I mentioned earlier, you can go to our designated Pinterest board to find loads more ideas for entertainment, including things that we've not even talked about, like drag acts, rodeos, mini golf, which is becoming more and more popular. And I guess we need to end it by just saying a reminder not to overcomplicate it, isn't it, with your entertainment. Mm-hmm. Like you said at the start, allow your guests time to speak to each other. You don't need to have something filling every second of the day, because then people don't get to catch up. And because they want to catch up, they miss out on whatever entertainment you've got on.
Yeah.
So don't overcomplicate things. Stick with your budget.
Ask questions.
Ask as many questions to these suppliers as you need to, especially when it comes to your music as well.
Yeah.
Make sure you're getting exactly what you want and you know what you're paying for.
Yeah.
Because they're obviously the most expensive form of entertainment.
And make sure that your venue, if you are booking a designated venue rather than, say, hosting yourself, what their restrictions are, what their timings are, what the access is. So, and, you know, tell them who you've got booked.
Yeah.
And what their expectations are, so that everyone is on the same page.
Indeed. I think that's it, Charles. Do you think that's it?
I think that's it.
Before we leave, I just want to mention the newsletter. If you're not already subscribed, you can do so with great ease. And you get a monthly... a countdown email to your inbox, just to sort of try and help keep you on track a little bit or give you a nudge about certain things that you might want to start thinking about organizing so you don't miss out on the best suppliers. So if you head to the blog and scroll down to the bottom, you can sign up for the newsletter there and I will send it to you every month. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Back in a
couple of weeks.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by Becky and Charlotte from Rock My Wedding, the UK's most influential wedding brand. For more content, visit rockmywedding.co.uk, follow us on Instagram at Rock My Wedding, or buy the book Your Day Your Way from Amazon or any leading book retailer. This podcast is produced by We Are The Clarks.